Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. I'm your host, Jason, and with me, as always, is my co-host, George, and Boss Man Hoos. Guys, how are you this evening?
Boss Man Hoos.
Boss Man Hoos. I'm used to Prophet Hoos, but Boss Man Hoos, it's all right. You know,
it's got a nice ring to it.
You could have said, like, Grand Pubes, you know? Grand Pubes is cute too. Pubes. I like that.
Grand Pubes?
Yeah, well, Adam likes Grand Pooba, you know, but I can't take that away from him, so I'll just be Grand Pubes, right? Like the grant. Never mind. Let's get into the show.
No. So we gotta call you Boss Man because at closing after draft night out, Prophet who says, "Listen, we gotta do a show," and he cracked the whip, and George and I are here.
Yep.
Yeah.
He snapped that whip like nobody's business.
Well, you know, you guys are my two beastly, you know, comrades. I love doing shows with you guys. So, you know, it felt fitting for us after SportsCon, after draft night out, for us to, you know, we just killed that thing. I could be here with Chris, my bae, but I spent some good time with him this weekend. You know, we snuggled up in bed together. It was nice. You know,
that did happen, by the way.
I don't want to get you lying. Jealous, Brittany. Not that you listen to the show. That's Chris's wife, by the way, guys. Brittany. On the show with you fine guys, we've got a lot to cover. It's going to be fun. I'm excited that we're getting closer to football season too. It's nice. Scott Fish draft is like over, right?
Man,
mine just wrapped up today.
Yeah, I'm in like the 19th round. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to just football, just everything. It's coming. The dead season is over, I think.
So on today's show, we are going to do news and notes. We're going to talk about draft night out, and then we are going to give you our value picks for every position. And for those of you that do real fantasy football, we will not be doing defense and kicker.
Sorry.
It's not happening.
So we'll start with news and notes. And the biggest news around the NFL is Zeke and Melvin Gordon both considering holding out. Guys, do we think this is going to be a Le'Veon Bell situation, Hoos?
It's possible. I mean, it's scary as heck, especially for Zeke. Like, the Gordon stuff, it was scary, but I don't think anybody's reacting as much to the Zeke stuff. But it's scary for me for Zeke because Zeke, he's a head case. Why would the Cowboys, neither one of these teams peg their guys, right? They just don't do that. I mean, you know, you had, before this, what the Chargers had, who was there before Gordon? You know, they don't pay anybody. They didn't pay LaDainian Tomlinson. They just don't. They didn't play. What's his name? I'm forgetting his name. Been out the
DeMarco Murray.
No, not DeMarco Murray. The Ryan Matthews. They didn't pay Ryan Matthews. You know, and smart, right? I mean, none of these guys are like guys that you're depending on. So it's smart for them to do so. I've got a great debate tomorrow defending Melvin Gordon. So I've got some
good
pluses
luck
to see you. So it was
You guys planned that before the news came out about Gordon.
Right.
So you felt a lot better about that situation.
I did.
So, George, with these, who do you expect to hold out? Who do you think who do you expect to be the longer of the two holdouts?
The longer of the two?
Yeah.
I think Melvin Gordon will be the longer of the two. I don't think either one's really going to hold out the whole season. But here's my one, like, major concern. We've seen this last year with Le'Veon Bell. He held out the entire season. They traded him or he signed on with the Jets. I'm just concerned that we might start seeing this going forward with all running backs, like especially the ones that feel that they are the bell cow running backs for their teams, which both Zeke and Melvin Gordon are. That they feel, and I believe that they legitimately feel they deserve to be paid upwards of 15, 16, 17 million a year. And teams are just not going to pay that money for a running back. They're just not. There's no reason to.
Well, so I'm going to say a couple things. One, I think they both deserve to get paid. And if Todd Gurley shows them anything, it's the fact that if you don't get yours now, you could have bad news. Imagine Todd Gurley was in a contract year 1 year later, what contract would he get this year? So these guys are looking at how many times they're used each year, how much wear and tear they put on their bodies every year, and they're saying, before I get hurt, I better get mine.
And now, I don't disagree with them at all. I think they deserve to be paid.
No, not at all. And but, I think that these guys – no, go ahead, George.
I was going to say, but the teams aren't going to pay them. They're just not. There's no reason to.
I don't see it.
You look at what – look coming up at the 2020 draft, that's absolutely loaded with running backs that are talented. So why – if I was a GM of a team and I'm looking ahead at that draft class, I'm like, why would I pay you $15 million a year when I can get a rookie who's maybe a little bit less talented than you, but I can get them for $3 million a year.
And I think you see, you know, like guys like Devonta Freeman, right? He's entering a contract year. And well, who did they draft? Kadri Allison, a big back, who's probably going to replace him, right? At some point, if not this year, towards the end of the year, they're going to let Devonta Freeman go after they put so much wear and tear on this dude. And the Patriots are the smart ones, right? I mean, the Patriots, they just drafted another rookie back to back up their rookie back so they don't have to pay anyone. They're going to work the heck out of James White. Then they're going to let him go, just like they let Deion Lewis go, who was in the same James White mold.
Look over at the Titans.
Yeah.
They're going to – and it's a little bit of foreshadowing here, but they're going to run Derrick Henry in the ground this year.
Yeah, they said so.
I mean, they're absolutely going to run him into the ground.
And they should.
And they should. And you think that they're going to give him a big contract next year? Absolutely not. That's why they got Alex Barnes back there to replace him.
Right.
Or they could take a running back from next year's class. It doesn't make sense to pay these guys what they're actually worth.
And I'll have one more piece if Jason doesn't have anything else to add on this, and say that this is the right thing for these guys to do for the other backs. When Le'Veon said, I'm doing it for us, he kind of did. You know, you kind of have to, if you're not taking this stand for running backs, not only for yourself, but as the landscape for the running backs, look, that team may not pay them, but Le'Veon still got paid. He still got a long-term deal, which is what he wanted. He didn't want this one-year deal, two-year deal. You want a long-term guaranteed deal in the NFL. It's something you don't see. They're looking at these NBA players, and they're like, man, they're getting all this money. I'm more of a focal point than this bench guy that's getting $12 million. It's kind of insane. Yeah. So they're doing the right thing, I think. I hope it works out for Zeke and Gordon. I do think that they will get paid. I don't think it's going to be from Dallas, and I don't think it's going to be from the Chargers. I think both guys will get traded eventually at some point.
All I can say is, please, Zeke, go to Miami.
We'd love that, right? I'd go to all their games.
I absolutely
I'd go to all their games. We're right here.
All right. So George talked about it a little bit. Our second story is the Titans expect to give Derrick Henry a big workload on his contract year this year. Guys, does that coach speak? Does that bit of news rise Derrick Henry up your board at all?
What are your thoughts, George?
So I've been high on Derrick Henry last year more specifically, but I like Derrick Henry. I thought last year he would finish as a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. Thankfully, for the last couple of games, he strung together some magnificent games and made that actually happen. But, I mean, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans did to him what the Cowboys did to DeMarco Murray in 2014. Just give him 400 touches. Let him tote that rock almost 400 times. Give him 50-plus catches and just wear him out. And then not sign him again next year.
So who's the question for me here is, are the Titans good enough to have a game script to put in a back that doesn't really catch the ball for the majority of their games?
See, now this is my problem here with this team because I don't think Derrick Henry does it all. I think they try to use Derrick. I mean, we look back at Derrick Henry's carries into last week, and I don't actually have it in front of me, but they tried to give him work. There were times where he had 20 touches a game. Not every game. It wasn't consistent, but there were times where he had it. So I don't know. I mean, he is the number one back from week weeks 13 through 17. They gave him a ton of work. He had like 200 yards in one game. It was disgusting. 100 and something yards in another game. It was disgusting. 4.9 yards a carry in 2018 overall. A lot of that came towards the end. He finished with 215 attempts, 1,059 yards, 12 touchdowns. I don't know, man. I like Derrick Henry and the fact that he's going to get this work in his third year of ball. But I don't know if that offense can just – he's going to see a lot of boxes. He's going to see a lot of stacked boxes. I don't think Mariota is scaring anyone. He's got to start using his legs. I mean, that's what he was supposedly be – he was supposedly good at, using his legs and, you keep the defense honest. We haven't seen that from Mariota. So, I don't know. It remains to be seen.
He broke his leg, didn't he?
This is true. So, maybe we see that this upcoming year. So, good point. Maybe we see that this upcoming year.
This is his contract year as well.
Right. That's so true. So they need each other.
They both absolutely need each other. This is a make it or break it year for Mariota. I think it's actually a more so make it break it year for Mariota than it is for even Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry goes out this year and has, not a great season, but finishes close to what he did last year, but a little bit more consistent from week to week versus just popping off where he gets, I would say almost three quarters of his stats in the last four or five games. He'll sign on with another team next year.
Yeah, he'll still get paid.
And he'll get paid and he'll be a starter. If Mariota goes out and looks like he did last year,
he's out.
Pre-injury, he'll sign with another team because another team is like, okay, he was an early draft pick. I think I can work with him and fix him. But he's going to be signed on as a backup. He's not going to be signed as a starter anywhere.
And, we'll move on a little bit after, again, unless Jason has something to say about it. But Mariota, it's so unfair for this guy, right? I mean, he's had a different coach almost every year, different coordinator. Yeah. How can you settle into your offense when you have a different one all the time that you're learning?
You can't.
Well, so I think Marcus Mariota could turn into Alex Smith if he goes to the right team. He could go be decent somewhere and not great. But, if he could get some stability, because that's basically what happened to Alex Smith his first several years. Year in, year out, new coaching system, right. Terrible offensive coordinator. When he finally got a good quarterback coach up underneath him, he actually showed what he could do. I think you could see something like that with Marcus Mariota because he's a smart player. He's risk adverse. So if you get him in the right system, I think he could be a pretty solid above Andy Dalton style quarterback.
I didn't appreciate the dig, but okay.
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later.
All right. So Emmanuel Sanders avoids going on the PUP list for the start of training camp. Is this news? Are we excited about Emmanuel Sanders? His ADP is really low right now. He's actually a pretty decent value if he actually starts the season as uninjured. Guys, what do we think about Emmanuel Sanders? Are you taking a look at him in any of your drafts?
It's super late. It's not somebody I want to trust having to fill in as a starter or a flex week to week. If I can get him super late, okay, I'll throw a dart at him. But that's not somebody I'm building my team around. It's not somebody I'm taking early.
Yeah, same. I mean, and whoever grabs him super late, kudos to them if they get that version of him. I mean, because he was a wide receiver one. But, I mean, it's a new team. It's a new quarterback. I don't know if we can see that from him. Case Keenum isn't, the best quarterback ever, but he did target him quite a bit. Will Flacco target him that much? Will he have that same level of explosiveness? Or he looked okay. I saw that and it looked okay. I wasn't super impressed, but it is nice to see him running, cutting. Wasn't the best cutting, but he's cutting, so it's cool to see. But yeah, I'm right along there with George. I can't see myself reaching for this guy, or I probably won't have him on many teams.
According to Fantasy Pros right now, his average draft position is the middle of the 10th round in 12-man teams.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I mean, that late you're taking a dart throw. It's not, like I said, it's not somebody you're building your team around. I don't mind taking a dart throw on him.
And I'm probably still not drafting me at 10. I'd probably look at him more at 12 or so, but he probably won't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the news is that he's going to start camp as a limited participant, but he looks to be way ahead of where you think he would be for an Achilles injury. Yeah, sure. So, I mean, he started off the year on fire. It was unfortunate he got injured. And I mean, if nothing else, if he doesn't do anything in the first couple games, but he's trending towards healthy, maybe he can be a cheap buy for somebody. Because if he comes out playing the way he did at the beginning of the last year, towards the end of next year, he could be a league winner.
He could be.
Yeah, I mean, I did this mock draft, this industry draft, and Quincy Enunwu was taken in the last round. Trey Quinn was taken in the last round. Jakeem Grant was taken in the last round. Kenny Stills, A.J. Brown, Emmanuel Sanders were not taken in this entire draft. So I could see me taking Emmanuel Sanders over all those guys easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way bigger upside if he actually hits.
Granted, this industry mock draft was before the news, but I don't know how much it would have changed. I actually don't think it would have changed.
So Darius Geis tweaked his hamstring. Now, Geis says he's not concerned. Fantasy football world was a buzz with Adrian Peterson actually hitting the 2,000 yards he says he's going to hit. What do you guys think? Is this a concern for Darius Geis?
It's a soft tissue injury. It's concerning no matter who it is.
Right.
I mean, typically when you have ACL tears, you know, hamstring injury sometimes does follow. It's not uncommon. But those soft tissues, they plague you, especially running backs. So as somebody who was really super high on Darius Geis coming into this year, I am definitely starting to cool on him with this new news.
Yeah, I mean, those things can linger. And that's a scary thing. I mean, we've seen him, right? After he tore, did he tear his ACL? What was it?
His ACL
last year. Yeah, he tore his ACL in the very first preseason
game. Yeah, and then we see him on TV sucking a lollipop. All is well. That's what he says to the camera. All is not well. I mean, we want to keep an eye on Darius Geis. This is why they brought in Darius Love. Bryce Love. This is why they brought in Bryce Love. This is why they brought back Adrian Peterson. Not to mention, he still got Chris Thompson back there.
Yep.
And Chris Thompson's back. Apparently, when he was coming back last year, he was not back. He said he was not 100%, but they had to play him. Now he's 100%. Chris Thompson might be the focus of that offense, actually. You know,
I can't see that.
I can't see it. He's too small. But would it surprise me? Not at all. Not with John Gruden. Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden.
So let me ask. So with this injury right now, he's going as running back 29, 64th overall. So with that said, he's going ahead of guys like Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
He's going ahead of guys like Miles Sanders. He's going ahead of Rashad Penny. I want all of those guys before I want Darius Geis at this point. Am I alone here?
No, you are not. I'm with you there, buddy. I take Drake Oakland as well.
I'd say I'm probably the highest of the three on Darius Geis. And even now, I'm not taking him. I'd take all three of those guys over him. No problem.
No, I think he may possibly be a draft day value. I think he's going to drop possibly to the seventh round. As far as to the seventh round, because I've seen him drop as far as the fifth round in the industry. I could see him doing it, dropping as maybe two more rounds.
So after Rashad Penny, it's Daryl Henderson, Jordan Howard, LeSean McCoy. Now I can see myself taking Geis over all three of those guys. Maybe not Daryl Henderson if I have Gurley, but you know, I can see myself taking him above those guys. So I think running back 33 is about where I'd have him. You guys feel about the same? Is that the area you think you'd start looking at taking him?
Yeah, I think so. What about you, George?
I
think so.
Yeah, no, running back 33 is fine.
And you could be getting a steal, right?
I'm sorry?
And you could be getting a steal at that point, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been saying the whole time, I think Darius Geis is going to start the season slow. I thought coming out it would be AP that is the lead back. And it would slowly transition. They would work Geis in a little here and a little there, you know, get him some experience, get, you know, the feel of the game underneath him. And then as the season goes along, get him more and more involved and AP less and less involved. But I could actually see AP riding the whole season as the lead back there and them using Geis just to spell AP every, you know, every other series.
I mean, he's their future, right? I mean, there's no reason to rush him back when you have that amount of depth. And Samaje Perine, we haven't heard, you know, we haven't been talking about him in fantasy because he's not fantasy relevant. But he was the only guy there, I believe, that was getting reps with the team for the most part. So I wouldn't be surprised with that at all. I mean, they've got a lot.
Let's not bring up Perine. No.
I'm just saying that there's they have. There. I know. I'm just saying they have a lot of depth for a reason.
Oh, they do.
I think all of these guys make the team. And you
I don't
usually,
think Perine makes the team.
I believe Perine definitely makes the team. Perine was if you look at Perine out of college, he was somebody that was coveted right there with Chris Carter.
I can't see them carrying five running backs.
I think they will because of this.
Oh, I can't see it.
So Perine gets cut?
Yep.
I don't know. He's been looking really good. I don't think they can let him go after the camp that he had. He's had a really good camp. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to Washington's camp. He's had a very good camp.
Yeah, they've talked him up pretty good, but he's the only running back in camp, so
right.
Because if they have to talk about somebody, they'll talk about
Perine,
right?
But they don't have to talk about. They could just talk about other guys. You know, they don't have to. Yeah. You know, so maybe he gets traded.
It's Washington. There's not a whole lot to talk about there anyway.
It is Washington, so let's move on.
So that's the news and notes for this week. We're going to move into a segment I have been waiting for a good long time. It is our post-draft night out recap segment.
What? Oh, man. It's my favorite.
It's my favorite.
My favorite part of the show.
If this is the first time for you guys listening to us, then you wouldn't have known. But if you do listen to us on a regular basis, you would know. We hosted a post-SportsCon fantasy draft event, the official SportsCon.
Yeah, it was the official one, wasn't it? I thought.
It was the official SportsCon fantasy draft event called Draft Night Out. We went to Top Golf. We had celebrities. We had drafts. We had industry experts. George was there. We had it all. So what do you guys want to talk about first? Do we want to talk about SportsCon? Do we want to strictly talk about Draft
Night
Out?
Let's start at SportsCon. SportsCon was pretty awesome in itself. Even though a lot of people said otherwise, hey, SportsCon, we liked you. We had a great time. There was some mixed reviews, but we had a great time, SportsCon. Work with us on the booth price next year, though.
we can start at the VIP party. George and I paid a little bit extra on our tickets to go to the VIP party. We got there, and George and I were in t-shirt and jeans, and everybody else was dressed up. We were a little worried. But we stood out in a good way because we were in our Draft Night Out shirts. We got a whole lot of attention.
For all the right reasons.
Yeah, we mingled, we mixed. George had hugged it out with Rico Gather several times.
I can call Rico my bae now.
Several times.
Yeah, no, they hugged a lot.
Me and Rico, we probably hugged at least three or four times.
I heard there was some cheeks that were pinched as well in that exchange.
Listen, he was a big man. I was scared. By no means am I a small man, but when you put me next to Rico Gathers, I'm a small man.
Yeah, he had a nice shirt on. He did have a nice shirt.
Oh, he did. Yeah. He did.
So we mixed, we mingled, we had a good time. I'd like to say shout out if he listens to Freddie Kane. That dude was funny as hell. He gave George and I a little bit of an interview there. I asked him if I could buy his shoes from him, and he was nice enough not to yell at me for only offering $20 for Gucci's. So thanks.
Well,
weren't
they like two seasons ago? So I mean, Gucci does have sales where they, you know, they just are getting rid of stuff. So
yeah. Listen, I offered him $40 later.
$40. You doubled it at least.
Doubled it. Yeah.
So the VIP party was awesome. We got to meet, we both met Rico Gathers. Not at the VIP party. We met Billy Davis. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. We met Ray Crockett, two-time Super Bowl champion. As Jason mentioned, Freddie Kane on the VIP red carpet. We both got to meet Jen Welter, their first female coach of the NFL.
That was cool.
And we got, yeah, that was really cool. And we got, she's just a little lady too. I mean, fiery, she's really small. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. The reason she had that.
So we got to meet some pretty cool people there. Half the time, Jason and I didn't know who was on the red carpet, and we had to ask the camera guys, "Who's that? Who's that?" Because without these guys having shoulder pads and yeah, jerseys and helmets, right, we have no idea who they are. It's none.
and shout out too, because we met some guys starting their own podcast. Some new guys. It's going to be called Two Angry Vets. We met some really cool guys, and I'm going to feel real bad that I don't remember their names, but I remember their podcast name.
Yeah,
and I wanted to say cool. It because they were instrumental in making SportsCon really cool for George and Lucas. So
yeah, you guys wanted to just their podcast. Quickly segue to that then.
Yep.
Get the exciting stuff. So how did they do that?
So what happened was we met them at the VIP party. They kind of asked us, they listen to our show. They listen to Eat Sleep Fantasy. They asked us for tips. You know, we gave them some basic like information, told them, you know, podcasting is a family. Like if they had issues, they could reach out to us, talk to us, and we'd give them any help they wanted. So we get to SportsCon the next day, and one of the guys is on the field getting ready to play the Army Navy flag football game with Vince Young and Johnny Manziel as quarterbacks. And he ran over and said, "Hey, two of our guys didn't show. George, you mentioned last night that you were a Marine. Would you like to play with us?"
And it literally took me half a second to say, "Fuck yes, I will play."
Yeah.
I look over to the right. We're doing. I'm in the booth. These guys are on the field stretching. Lucas and Jason and George are on the field stretching out. I was like, "What the heck are these guys doing on the field?" Jason's like, "Oh, they're about to play, you know, with Vince Young and Johnny Manziel and a bunch of other football players that are just, these were athletes, right? These guys look like they were athletes, and you guys should not have been there."
Well, let's rephrase that. Hold on. Lucas should have been on the field.
Yes, because he was the MVP.
I should not have been on the field, okay? Let's get that out of the way right now. I'm 38 years old. I'm 280 pounds. I'm slow. I'm fat. I had no business being on the field. And you know what? I would do it again right now.
Oh, yeah. And I'd watch it again.
So I have to pause this, and you can leave it in the show, Rob. But Rob, our producer, do me a favor. I need a clip of "I'm slow, I'm fat" from George just so I can replay that over and over again.
That's awesome.
So not only George has, in his own words, slow and fat, but also in jeans. And,
oh, yeah.
And neither him or Lucas are in cleats. But you know what? They're going to catch passes from NFL quarterbacks. So
all
they're
day
out
long.
On the field.
If you give us the opportunity, we're going out all day long. There was no hesitation. They asked. They said they needed two people. I looked at Lucas and said, "Come on, Lucas. We're going to play ball."
And Lucas was freaking Wes Welker out there, or
yeah,
Julian Edelman, whatever you want to call him. The guy was all over the field catching passes from Vince Young.
He had a nice 60, 65-yard touchdown catch.
Diving catch.
Diving catch.
Over-the-shoulder diving catch. He picked off Johnny Manziel.
Picked off Johnny football. He had
a couple short routes.
He had a comebacker. He had one that was low and away that he went down to the ground for. Played defense like a champ.
I just want to say, I would have had a touchdown if Vince Young would have hit me coming out of my route.
He missed you.
He really
he did.
If you see
no,
the video,
he totally did.
Yeah. If Vince Young had thrown the ball a second earlier or a little bit further out, George had a touchdown too. Instead, George had to go crashing
like
into a booth.
Yeah, instead, I was like a bull in a china shop, and I just blew through a whole booth. It was absolutely amazing.
Oh man! At least he did acknowledge that he missed you. Pointed you, was like, "Dude, that was my bad. That was cool."
Yep.
Right.
Well, he did that twice because there was another play that I did a post route, and I was wide open in the end zone. There was like, you were the closest one around me, Hoos, and you were down on the other side of the field. and he just completely missed me there too. So,
oh, man.
I'm
but
not
this
mad.
Was
listen,
but
I had so a blast. Fun. Oh, it was two 20-minute quarters. I played maybe 12 to 13 minutes the entire game. But you know what? for me, it may, other than draft night out, that made my weekend. It was so awesome.
Oh yeah. That was a bunch
and of I fun. Have to say, and I do have to say too, like both Vince Young and Johnny Manziel after the game were real cool. They stuck around, took pictures with all the guys.
Yep.
Like they, I saw them signing autographs for kids. Like, you know, so it, they both seem to have a reputation of not being like amenable.
Oh, what
to
was
fans.
Cool? What was really cool? And not to cut you off, when the kids asked Johnny Manziel to do the money signing, he's like, oh, I don't do that anymore.
He's like, yeah, I don't do that no more.
Yeah, I thought that was big of him. Thinking, you know, like, that's not me anymore.
That's cool. I mean, you know, it's also not him as an NFL player.
Right.
But
he's not an NFL player. We love you, Johnny Manziel. Okay. You gave us a drop. We'll probably use it for this show.
It's my favorite.
It's
my favorite. Yeah, so the rest of SportsCon was a blur. Like, we were trying to get people to go to draft night out. We were trying to get players to come over and say their part about Sleeper Wire. You're going to hear them, all the ones we got. You know, we ran in. I saw Pete Rose. We ran into Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams was stoned out of his freaking mind.
He was stoned out of his skull, Jason.
But why wouldn't he?
Wouldn't you?
I mean, he's Ricky Williams. Like, I envied like him the whole time. I mean, come on.
If he quit, football to smoke pot. Like, wouldn't you be disappointed if he cleaned himself up?
Like, how disappointed would I have been if Ricky Williams was there and he was like in a shirt and tie, clean shaven?
I would have been,
you know,
very
just,
disappointed because
just
he was perfect the way he was,
sober as can be. Yeah, no. Listen, I love Ricky Williams. He's my favorite running back.
He's my favorite.
Now, Daryl Henderson was there. He was really cool.
He was badass.
Super
he
cool.
really was.
The pitchers.
Yeah, he was.
Super cool.
He was one of the guys that like was willing to hang out outside of the VIP area, outside of the players club. Like he just kind of walked around. Like his handler kept him from doing most stuff. He was 100% willing to do it all, man. He was a cool guy. So I actually hope he gets a lot of work now because I have a signed ball from him.
Yeah, yeah. Got a signed hat. Got some picks. He might be on the show. Who knows? You guys got to stay tuned to see. Maybe we'll give away that hat on this show. Nicely.
All right, so that was SportsCon. Unless Hoos, you got any other?
No, other than that, SportsCon was.
Let's keep it moving.
Meh.
That's the good stuff. So let's talk about draft night out a little bit.
Yeah.
When we started the weekend, did you guys expect draft night out to be as successful as it turned out to be?
I mean, yes, but not that successful, right?
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I thought we would do well,
right.
But man, did we do well!
But to have the ballers show up. No, not
that was
fantasy
amazing.
Footballers, but the ballers from the HBO show with The Rock, Dwayne Rock Johnson on it, a show that I watched, for, like it's going into the fifth season. That was hella cool. Hella cool.
So we got to say The Rock did not show up.
He did not. No. Spoiler alert.
But
he was busy.
But
I asked him. He said, George.
He was supposed to come in.
I love to come with my boys, but I can't. So I apologize. But I'm going to send my boys anyway.
He was doing some stuff for that new Fast and Furious movie that's coming out.
Yes. Yeah. It's a new series.
So who from the ballers actually showed?
It was Kenny Lofton or Chris Lofton and Carl McDowell.
Yeah.
And so when we say they showed up, they didn't show up, hang out in the corner for 5 minutes, like scowl at everybody and then leave. They like showed up, stayed for hours, took pictures with people, played golf. All of this just because they heard we were having an event and needed something to do that night and thought we were cool enough to hang out with.
Yeah.
That's because they didn't meet me beforehand.
This is true. they met me first and they was like, yeah, this guy seems kind of cool. And he's got his own jersey, Sleeper Wire jersey going on. And they came out and it was a great time. We were actually going to hang out with them right after draft night out, which was even cooler because we were texting like, hey, where are we going afterwards? And it was like, oh, we're going to Park Ave over here in Dallas. Oh yeah, oh, we're here next. Oh, we're here next. We're here next. You know, so it was a great night. Definitely no. I don't think we were imagining it to be as successful as it was. Also, we had great analysts there. We've had Nate Hamilton from the Fantasy Tilt podcast. He's also a writer for the Fantasy Footballers. We had Kate Med. I'm sorry, I can't say your name, your last name. You might know her last name.
Kate. We had Kate and Michelle.
Kate and Michelle from the Ball Blast
podcast.
Right. So we had the Ball Blast girls there. We had our very own Corey from Sleeper Wire, and he's a rock star at Attican. You got to go check out that guy's music. He was just a legend there the whole night, taking shots and just drafting awesome teams.
Yeah, we had Mitch Renz,
Mitch Renz, Hamilton, yep. Fantasy Fam.
Yep, the Fantasy Fam guys were there. It was, Casey Kasem was yep. there. I mean, we just had a whole bunch of industry people there. And let me say a little bit about Draft Night Out. We're already planning on the Draft Night Out next year.
Oh, yeah.
And if you were thinking about coming this year and you're like, you know, I'm going to be in the area, but I don't know if that's something I really want to do. I'm telling you.
You do miss.
You fucking missed out.
You missed it.
You absolutely missed out. You
absolutely did. And we're not saying this because
I can't understand. No. I'm not trying to, you know, promote Draft Night Out and to tell you how great it was, even though it wasn't that great. No, it was absolutely fucking amazing. And if you're thinking about coming next year, don't think about it. Just do it.
Just do it. Just buy your
it just do it.
So it doesn't sell out. You don't want to be the guy that comes, which, mind you, I'm going to tell you the guy that comes that missed the draft. Guy pays for Draft Night Out.
Yep.
Misses the draft.
We showed up late.
Refund. He's like, oh, wait, those are the ballers over there swinging golf clubs, drinking beer, eating wings and stuff. I think I'll hang out and just swing golf clubs with them the whole night, which he totally did.
Exactly what he did.
Exactly what he did the whole time. And it was awesome.
And he was
anybody else there.
Oh, he I talked to the guy. He said this was the greatest night of his life.
Yeah.
Other than when his kid was born.
And let's not forget we had raffles. Our raffles were a hit.
Yeah.
You know, we had one guy get two.
lucky bastard.
That guy was lucky as hell.
A controversy there.
But yeah, so randomly drawn, one guy won two, and you know, he got picked twice. It was awesome for him. Not so much for everybody else. But we
he won a Tony Romo? A Troy Aikman.
No, a Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman and Melvin Gordon.
And Melvin Gordon.
I straight up told him I don't want to give him the Melvin Gordon one.
Yeah.
Like, that thing was a beauty. I did not want to give that
one. We all wanted that one for ourselves. And, you know, we had to give him the fair and square. He won the fair and square. Great pieces of memorabilia from Prestige Sports Memorabilia. He won both pieces. He actually flipped one of them to our guy over at Eat Sleep, Wade. And, man, Wade, I was pretty jealous when he got that because I would have paid way more. I'm not going to give the price out because I don't want to, you know. But I would have paid more. I would have paid more. And, Wade, you got to steal. This guy came up. He got money in his pocket. He basically paid for his ticket to come to Draft Night Out and got a Melvin Gordon jersey. Had a good time, hang out with balls. It was steal. You want that kind of night?
This is why you can't get that kind of night unless you come to Draft Night Out.
Right.
So we also had I almost forgot we had an Olympic hopeful for 2020, Childo Owuzie. I had to look up how to spell his last name. He's a hurdler that I met at the VIP party, and we invited him Draft Night Out, and of course he showed, because why wouldn't you? It was the coolest thing going on Saturday night in Dallas. So he showed up, had a good time. I'd actually teach him about fantasy football because he must be so focused on sports that he wasn't real sure how to play. So I taught him a little bit of something, and he's going to be a listener from now on, so he can learn a little bit more.
Yeah, and we've been lastly, we had the guys from, what was it? Good dudes. I can't think of their name right now, but they've had a ton of videos, Alvin Kamara, on that ball where you're catching,
It was the
you know what I'm talking about?
The Helix catching.
The Helix, yeah. So the owners from the Helix, they were there as well drafting. And these guys are going to be on Shark Tank next season. These guys are going to be out of here. These guys are going to be millionaires, billionaires. They've got Kamara. They've got AB. They've got all types of videos doing the
crazy
stuff. They're catching 1, 2, 3. And it's kind of like this 3 thing. I don't know. What is exactly what to call it? I don't have the in front of me, but man, it was just cool to watch. It's different colors. You have like a one in white, one in blue, one in red, or different teams' colors, right? So that might be Giants. Then you got the Steelers' colors, and they're catching different ones that, you know.
What was What was really cool is they were actually doing live demonstrations during the draft. Yep. Like, if you ask them, hey, how does this work? Like, so it's total hand-eye coordination. And they would actually, yeah, come on over here. We'll show you. And they're doing live demonstrations while the drafts are going on. I mean, it was so cool to have them there.
Yeah, it was a great time. So basically, overall, you want to come to Draft Night Out. There's a ton of stuff we missed out on, but you guys won't miss out on it next Draft Night Out, will you? I mean, you're going to make sure you get your tickets to that. Steve told you at the beginning of all of our shows, when they're gone, you're going to be pretty upset that you didn't get one. And you're hearing this show now. Just make sure you go to draftnightout.com, get on that mailing list, make sure you're at the next one, because you never know when we're going to pop up in your city.
Hey, who got the Juju ball? Was that the Fantasy Fanboys?
Fantasy Fanboys, Fantasy Fanboys. Oh. Anthony at Fantasy Fam. He won that Juju signed ball, brought it
in
the air.
He convinced him to come.
He threw that thing in the air like it was Simba from The Lion King. He's like, nah. It was so cool.
We had to convince them to come because they weren't sure that they wanted to go.
And check that out.
They had an absolute blast. He was so thankful that we were persistent on telling them, listen, you've got to come to this. You're going to miss it if you don't.
And the next day at SportsCon, where was that Juju ball? Right on their
right
table.
Right on the center of the table.
center of their table. Right on the center of the table.
We just moved
so
it
we were using that ball
to
previously.
Theirs.
A SportsCon air, like, here you go. It's yours now. So, yeah, great time at Draft Night Out. Great time at SportsCon. You don't want to miss the next year, especially that Draft Night Out, which will be in your city. So, no reason for you to.
Yep.
All right. So, that kind of wraps up our SportsCon discussion. Guys, check it out. If there's a fantasy football convention in your area and we're headed that way, we're gonna do Draft Night Out, too, in your area. But for sure next year in Dallas. And if you like what you heard, it's going to be only be bigger and better next year. Yeah. Like this was all valuable experience for us. It was our first time hosting one of these kind of events. Next year, we'll know what we're doing. And it'll be even better.
You're saying we didn't know this time and we were this successful?
We knew what we were doing.
Yeah. I'm saying next time we'll know what we're doing.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying. How about this? Right. I'll say it like this. Next time, we'll know what we did.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Is that better?
Not right. Much, but okay. All
right. So you're downselling Draft Night Out after we just upselled it the whole time. Or maybe,
all right, guys.
You didn't know where you're going this time.
No, just wait. Next thing, we know what we did last time. We know we have to beat it next time.
That's it.
All right. All right, so we're actually going to get to some actual fantasy football advice in this episode. We promise that's what we're going to do next. We're going to get into values. We're going to get into values for this upcoming year. You know, guys, watch when we tell you who we like here. Just know that by the time you draft, the values could shift. So who I tell you now is only good for the next, you know, next week or two, and then just watch to make sure the values don't rise when I tell you. Because if I tell you who my value quarterback is, of course it's going to rise just because of the sound of my voice. So just make sure that the ADP stays low on these guys if you're going to take this advice. And so we're going to start with quarterback here. Hoos, I know who you have. So why don't you lead us off with your value quarterback?
Okay, my value quarterback you took a dig at earlier on the show. And it's Andy Dalton. I mean, the guy was on pace to be a QB1. He's got some amazing weapons. He got Joe Mixon out the backfield catching passes for you, Geo as well. Then you got Tyler Boyd. You got AJ Green. You got Tyler Eifert possibly coming back from him in. And even if you don't, CJ Uzomah kind of stepped in and kind of became a serviceable tight end. This guy's got plenty of weapons. And he's going undrafted right now. I mean, I just did a industry mock draft, you know, and he went undrafted. It's insane. You know, like, granted, you know, he's not a guy that's on most of our minds because recency bias. He didn't finish the season. But when he was playing, he was on pace to be a QB1. Now, we've had years from Dalton not being that great. But we've also had years where he was a QB1. So it's not like he's can't do it. So the fact that you're getting him undrafted, that's an insane value, especially if you're going to go on a two QB, which I'm not giving you the value for. You go higher, but still. That's insane value. Go out there, draft Andy Dalton. Wait for your QB. Draft Andy Dalton when you're late.
Yeah, so my spiel, and it's this is why I said that earlier, who's my spiel on Andy Dalton is in the NFL, if you have a quarterback that's better than Andy Dalton, then you're probably good at quarterback. Your team's good at quarterback. If you have a quarterback that's worse than Andy Dalton, you probably need to look for a quarterback. Oh. I think in the NFL itself, Andy Dalton's like the temperature gauge at quarterback. Like you want it to be at Andy Dalton or better. But in fantasy, he has those years because he has the weapons and he's getting a new offensive minded coach. It's no longer Marvin Lewis, and like that defensive minded, what the hell is that offense? So I think Andy Dalton can go up from here.
For sure. Who you got, George?
George, what do you have it? Who's your quarterback?
My quarterback is Mitchell Trubisky.
I like it.
Listen, last year, in what many perceived to be a down year, he threw for 3,700 yards. He was close to 400 yards rushing. He was the top 8 quarterback rushing in the NFL. I think he can improve on all of those numbers. They've got the 4th easiest schedule this year. It's the second year in a Matt Nagy led offense. The defense. Listen, the defense is going to keep them in games. They're not going to get blown out, so they won't be behind a lot. But I think with an improvement of Miller, another year of Allen Robinson, they just went out and they drafted David Montgomery, who I think we all can agree is an upgrade over Jordan Howard. Sure. I think Jordan Howard was just a guy. So I think there's room for that offense to improve over last year. He's currently going as the QB 18. And it honestly would not shock me at the end of the year if he's within the top 10 to 13 quarterback range. And getting him where you're getting him right now outside round number 10 is honestly, in my opinion, is a steal.
Well, he's got a safe floor. For sure. He's got good weapons. You know, you've got Cohen that can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yep.
Robinson can do it. Miller can do it. Even Trey Burton
second
can do
year
it.
In that
he's
offense.
Got weapons. Yeah. He's yep. got weapons, and it's the second year in that offense. I can see, especially with his legs, he's
yeah,
got a real
with
safe
his
floor.
Legs. Safe floor. Yeah. I mean, his floor is what? 6 touchdowns, right?
That's right.
Well, that's Dak. That might be Dak's floor is 6 touchdowns. He's coincidentally, it's also his ceiling, right. but his floor is touchdowns.
All right, so my quarterback, my value quarterback this year is Jameis Winston. Right now he's being drafted at the 16th overall QB with an ADP of 115. He scored on average last year 19.9 points per game, which was good for quarterback 9. He's got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait in the red zone. They upgraded their coaching staff. His defense is still awful. They're going to be playing from behind and having to throw. He's got no running game whatsoever.
Hey, you respect the name of Peyton Barber.
So, and then the other thing to go with is, you know, he played a small sample size. Well, a relatively small sample size. He was only in like 9.5 total games last year. If you extrapolate that out to 16 games, he's on pace for around 5,000 yards and 31 touchdowns. Now he might throw 20 interceptions, but you know, we don't care
right.
so much about interceptions.
As long as
those
not
are
Scott
only
Fishbowl League, right?
Yeah, right. So if you have a Scott Fishbowl where interceptions cost you a lot
4 points,
you know, Jameis is not your guy. But when he's only losing you 2 points per interception, but getting you 6 points per touchdown,
he's making that up.
He also can rush the ball. He doesn't do it that much. I don't think that coaching staff wants him to, but he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you combine the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston, you sandwich these dudes together, they're the number 2 quarterback for you last year.
Yep. Hey, Hoos.
Yep.
We should have came up with the rule beforehand. We're not allowed to take our homer teams.
We should have. But you know what? I don't mind that at all. I mean, if mine was Eli Manning, I would say, yeah, let's not do the homer thing. But with Jameis Winston, I like it. You know, I'm quite a fan of Tampa Bay. I'm probably going to see more of the games live this year. I've been debating who's going to be my second team, as this is my fourth year in Florida, and I love South Florida. This is my second home. I actually been down here during college years as well, but I'm digressing. I need a team other than my Giants. Miami may not be it. Tampa Bay may.
They should be. All right, so now, guys, we're going to get into our running backs. Who's your running back of value this year?
Actually, I had two, but I'm going to give you my one. Chris Carson, I mean, he's going at the 5.8. And again, I'm giving you sleeper ADP and an industry draft that I did. And the reason why I'm doing that is just to go to show you that these are guys that are probably grabbing their guys at their respective positions, right? Not necessarily quarterbacks. Those are going to go later. So that might be bad to give you the ADP for there, but still, you know. But as far as running backs, for instance, at 5.8, a guy that was – we talked about Derrick Henry earlier, who led the league. It's a fun stranger stats, you know, I'll give you after. He led the league. He was number one from weeks 13 to 17. But stranger stat, Chris Carson was number two behind him, just behind him. Above all the other backs that we fall in love with, right? Chris Carson was right there. And I know people want to talk about Rashad Penny, but Rashad Penny is another guy there. I mean, they had Mike Davis there. Do we really believe that Chris Carson's going to lose that many more touches? I know people are saying, oh, he's an injury away. Isn't any back?
Every back's an injury
away. Every back is an injury away. I'm talking about a guy that can give you 1,000 yards. I'm talking about a guy that can give you 1,000 yards in the fifth round. Towards the end of the fifth round, you're not really getting that. You're getting more PPR backs than that at that point. Not PPR, sorry. Yeah, you are getting more PPR backs. You're not getting like a steady back. And he's just being disrespected right now. They only have Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, and McKissick. And they did just draft a guy, but I wouldn't really Homer. I think it's Travis Homer could be a PPR piece to affect Rashad Penny, but not so much Carson. Guy's 23 years old. You know, I mean, a lot of people, he's not the sexiest name at all, but he is a draft day value for me at this point in the season.
Well, and with Mike Davis leaving, he had 112 touches last year in 15 games
as well.
And 42 targets. So, you know, when people talk about Penny stepping up, that's fine.
Yeah.
Penny can take all Penny will take, Davis.
Take all
Penny can literally take all of Mike Davis's touches and leave Chris Carson with what he had last year. And you're going to be perfectly happy with what you get at number five. Now, in the round five, but the only issue you could have is Chris Carson doesn't catch. So when you're in half point PPRs, or full point PPR, you know, that might drop him down your list a little bit. But even then, fifth round, sixth round, where you're getting him, still a steal.
You're not usually getting a starter there. I mean, after Chris Carson, you're probably banking on, what, Peyton Barber or something like that, or LeSean McCoy or something like that as a starter, Lamar Miller for you as a starter. There's not many guys aside from that that is a – this guy's the starter. You know what I'm saying? There's not many – and so it's like you're waiting and waiting and – that's insane value right there. I mean, for the guy has only 2 years experience, people are treating this guy like he's some old man and has a lot of wear and tear. I just don't think people know enough about this guy, Chris Carson. And Penny doesn't really scare me at all. You know, even if he does take a starting job, he starts and then what? Chris Carson still gets the same workload.
Yeah, it's a team that wants to run the ball. Yeah. And even if they throw a little bit more and Penny gets a little bit of a bump, that's all carries taken away from a guy who left in Mike Davis. So plenty of volume for two stud running backs there, and I see Chris Carson as a great value. That's a great pick. George, who's your running back of value?
Excuse me. My running back of value, and I want to take back what I said earlier about not being able to pick your Homer team. Because my running back of value is Kenyon Drake.
I like that. He was mine too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm slowly coming around to Kenyon Drake being a good running back this year. I typically am not very high on my Miami Dolphin players. But when you look at that offense, listen, our defense is terrible. We're going to be behind in games. Kenyon Drake is definitely the pass catching back, and he's going to be the starter there. Adam Gase is gone. Hopefully, we got a new head coach who actually likes Kenyon Drake from all reports coming out. He likes him. He thinks he's talented, and he wants to feed him the ball. Last year, Kenyon Drake had 73 passes, 73 targets, 53 catches. I think there's actually room for improvement on that this coming year. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets up into the 65, pushing close to 70 receptions. And I base that simply on Miami's got the sixth easiest running back schedule. We got a new coach. We're going to be behind a lot, and he's going to be in on passing downs. So,
well, the other thing you can like there is the fact that his only competition is Ballage.
Yeah.
And Ballage,
I like – go ahead, Jason.
Ballage can be a good running back, but they're completely different styles. Yep. And he's pretty unpolished. So he runs up high. I don't know. So to me, Ballage is maybe a little bit better of just a guy. And then you have somebody with the talent like Drake who might have been used poorly. You see a lot of running backs leaving, honestly, just a lot of players in general leaving Miami and finding a home somewhere else and playing better.
Yeah,
Damian Williams is a great example of that. Damian Williams barely sniffed the field over Kenyon Drake, goes to Kansas City and has himself a stretch, got himself a new contract. So, you know, I really like Kenyon Drake as a value.
He finished last year in whole point PPR. He finished just ahead of Chris Carson. So yep. Think about everything Hoos just said right. About Chris Carson.
Take that into on a down year, right? I mean, I don't want to get down here, but.
Well, and it was a down year because Adam Gase just didn't use him, went long stretches of giving the ball to Frank
exactly,
Gore.
Exactly, yeah.
And I love Frank Gore, and he's not there anymore. But, man, when you have somebody explosive like Kenyon Drake and you keep handing it to old man Frank Gore, we all love Frank Gore, but. Man,
that guy's
got to be 80 in football years, right?
Let him move on. But no, I do agree wholeheartedly with George. I mean, Brian Flores is a guy that was super coveted. Super coveted. He was he was brought in from the if I'm not mistaken, he was brought in from the Patriots.
Correct.
And he was a super coveted guy. I mean, this is a guy who, if you're looking at the Patriots, you're looking at Kenyon Drake. He can possibly be James White, who was a top 10 back for you last year.
Yep.
I mean, he's has the chops, right? Kenyon Drake has those chops.
He absolutely does.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility at all for him to get 65 catches. I see that right up his alley. I mean, it's not a bad pick at all. I mean, where he's going right now, 5.3.
He's going as the running back. He's going as the running back 24 right now.
That's just insane right now. I mean, slated to be the RB17 on my draft rankings coming into the season.
He finished last year in whole point PPR. He finished running back 13.
Yeah.
And what was widely considered
a down year.
He didn't feel
very valuable, right? For some reason.
Nope.
Chris Carson felt more valuable for some reason.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they listen. And I'll give it up. You know, they only rushed him 120 times last year. Most of his points came in the passing game. 53 receptions for 477 yards, 5 touchdowns. So
that's
he's gonna. If you like PPR backs, if you go zero RB to start your draft, zero in on Kenyon Drake. He's easily could finish. As who's got him at running back 17, he could finish higher. 17 to 15 easy.
Yeah, he could finish a lot higher than that. I mean, again, it sounds very reminiscent of the James White. What did James White catch last year? I think he caught similar touchdowns.
James White had 123 targets, 87 catches, and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was crazy enough. He actually rushed for 5, which was crazy. But yeah, I mean, Kenyon Drake, I think they look at Kenyon Drake. This guy could rush for 5 touchdowns. This guy could catch 7 touchdowns. Hey,
easy.
He's doing that for you. He's a draft day steal. And it's
yeah, all of a sudden, all of a sudden, he's borderline running back
one.
If he gets 12 touchdowns and the catches You know, he's borderline run, like he was last year.
If he gets 12 touchdowns, he is a running back.
He will be. He will be one.
No borderline. Yeah. He will be.
Yeah, he will be at that.
That will happen.
Yep. So
barring health, so he should see that.
Yes. Well, with that, so let's just say every player we're talking about, barring health. And speaking of health, we're going to talk about my value now, which is Adrian Peterson, old man AP, the grizzly vet. So he is average draft position right now is 141. He's going off at running back 51, guys. Last year he had over 1,000 yards. He had 20 receptions, which isn't a lot, but he actually had a receiving touchdown. He had 8 total touchdowns. Right now, Deion Lewis and Ito Smith are both being drafted picks ahead of him. Like, they're both going ahead of him. Lewis had 100 less total yards and only 2 touchdowns. Ito Smith had 500 yards less and 4 less touchdowns. These guys are going ahead against ahead of AP. And Darius Geis is hurt. Bryce Love is hurt. And Chris Thompson is always hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Adrian Peterson is competing against Samaje Perine for starts.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like,
Adrian Peterson is an amazing value. In the 11th, 12th round of your fantasy football league, are you kidding me? Adrian Peterson's a steal.
He's an absolute steal, and he's aiming for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He ain't going to get it. He ain't going to get it. But, I mean, the guy did eclipse over 1,000 last year, right? 1,042 yards in 2018. Guy's 34 years old. This guy's still pushing, you know, and I think
AP has that old man strength.
Yeah. Old man strength is it.
Absolutely does.
Definitely does.
Well, and listen, he's old, but he missed some time, right? He missed a whole season due to one injury, so not a lot of wear and tear while he was rehabbing. He missed some time due to suspension. We won't talk about what he did, but he missed a couple years. So even though he's older as far as running backs go, he's got a couple less years on those legs than some other players might. Like I said, I think he's an absolute value. If you go wide receiver heavy and you need running backs late in this draft, Adrian Peterson's a perfect.
Now, granted, I will say granted because news just came out on that, and we did see some news to say, and the Geis thing wasn't that serious, but it's still a hamstring.
I mean, listen, Geis is saying that. What is he gonna say?
Yeah, what are you like? Gonna say about it? You gonna talk up?
Yeah, he wants to say he's going to be okay for camp, and he might be. Listen, we don't know. He could make a miraculous recovery, but you know, we were worried about him when it was just his ACL injury, and now he's got a soft tissue
injury.
And
we haven't seen him in the NFL.
Right, exactly right. Other than one quarter of one preseason game. So, you know, eventually maybe Geis takes over, but Peterson's going to be there all
year. And you're looking at what? The round, Geis is going, what, round 4 or so? AP is going round 12-ish, 13-ish.
Ish.
Now, this is early. Now, this is, again, this you're probably going to see.
These numbers will change.
It's going to change. He's going to go in at least round 10, I would say. Possibly way higher.
I think AP is going to move up to like round 5, maybe 6.
I was.
Yeah, I think that's. I think he'll that's move a little up too high.
I don't think.
I think
it
that's
is.
A little too. I do. I think he's that's if, a little too high on
I,
him.
I but think we'll see.
What you will see is him rise up the board if the Geis news continues as like he's not ready for camp. He's not.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
he's
what
still
I'm saying.
A soft tissue, but still, I think five's early for him. I'm with Hoos. I would say 7 or 8.
If Geis is not ready for camp. And AP comes in to start the season as the starter there, and Geis is not there, and it's just AP and Chris Thompson. Yeah. He will get up to round 5. Starting running backs, I don't care who you are. Starting running backs this day and age are not on the board in round 5. If AP is there, his ADP will push up to round 5. If Geis is not ready to go at the start of the season.
And in fairness.
It just will.
And in fairness to what George is saying, I mean, we were just talking about Chris Carson, who I think is a lot more talented. I don't want to say more talented than Adrian Peterson, because Adrian Peterson is amazing. I'm just talking about this part of their career. We're talking about Chris Carson, guys you're looking at afterwards would be Lamar Miller, possibly Tevin Coleman, possibly LeSean McCoy, possibly Peyton Barber. So, yeah, fifth round. So I guess you could put AP in that. If that is the case, I'm probably looking at him around round seven or so, which in this industry draft I was in, round seven went Miles Sanders, Latavius Murray, Jerick McKinnon, LeSean McCoy, Darrell Henderson. I'm comfortable around there.
That's where I could see him easily falling.
Here's the problem.
This is an industry,
though. The key word was that was an industry draft.
Yes.
The people that are listening to us right now, a vast majority of them are not in industry drafts.
Right. This is
so true. They're going to see Adrian Peterson. They're going to look at what he did last year. They're going to see Geist not being there. And they're going to be like, hey, I got myself a starting running back.
Yeah, I actually agree with that 100%. Now, you know, with that perception of it, I agree with that. 100%. I can see it happening. Jason and I won't do that because I think we're kind of included in industry people, right? When we think about, we know slightly more what, I mean,
you guys are the industry people. I, on the other hand, am just a man of the people.
Well, so sure. George, I see in our home league, I say we make a charity bet, $5 Toys for Tots. Adrian Peterson does not go before round seven.
I'll take that bet all day long, because in our home league, we had somebody draft Jamal Charles in the first round with an injury. So I am absolutely willing to take that. Hell, we had somebody draft Paul Perkins in the second round our home league, Jason. Man. So I will absolutely take that AP will go before round seven in our home league. That's easy money.
With the caveat. With the caveat that you can't draft him in round six. Just so you win $5.
Listen, I can't do that because now you're putting restrictions on who I can draft when and where. That's not fair. If he's the starting running back and Darius Geis is not in the picture, if he's there in the fifth or sixth round, I will definitely take him.
Okay. Well, I'll still take the bet. I don't think you're going to take him in the fifth or sixth round.
We both know it's going to happen.
We've been talking about old man AP for too long. We still got wide receivers and tight ends.
So let's move on to wide receivers. And who's you've talked the least lately? So
my guy.
Who's your guy as wide
my
receiver?
My guy. I like saying that.
Who you
my
got?
Guy, my guy, Larry Fitzgerald, being disrespected. Why are you guys disrespecting Larry Fitzgerald? Why are you guys doing this? I mean, he is going way too late. The guy's still a wide receiver too. I know he didn't give you much numbers in the beginning of last year, but who you had there? I mean, Josh Rosen throwing the ball. Kyler Murray's a huge upgrade. And I mean, this guy just finished the season very, very well. I think that you're going to look at Cliff Kingsbury offense. You know, these guys couldn't move the ball at all. They couldn't move the chains. Larry Fitz is going to be a big part of them moving that. Yeah, I know he's 35, he's 15 years in the league, but he's still on the team. He's still got a lot in those legs, I think. And, I think it's just insane for Larry Fitzgerald to be going in the, ninth round, you know. And to be honest, this is an industry draft. These are smart people grabbing Larry Fitzgerald in the ninth round. He's probably going later in other rounds. So, right, in industry drafts, mostly you see quarterbacks fall. You see wide receivers being drafted accordingly to what their respect is. You might see guys somewhat reaching, I'm putting quotations, reaching on wide receivers. But no, they're just drafting the guy that you should be drafting in that respect. Larry Fitzgerald should be going at least in round eight. But he's probably not going in most of those. I don't have a. Do you guys have the other ADPs of where Larry Fitzgerald's going in? Because I feel like so he's going later in the 8.9 in this industry. I did
well. So he's actually going around the 8.8. He's right around in Fantasy Pros where he was in the industry draft. Let me ask you about Larry Fitzgerald and the guys getting drafted around him. Okay, so getting drafted as the wide receiver 37 is Marvin Jones. Do you want Marvin Jones or Larry Fitzgerald?
See, I think Larry Fitzgerald gives you a safer. I think Marvin Jones is more boom or bust. I think Larry Fitzgerald gives you a safer floor. So if I'm drafting a guy that late, I think I want floor.
All right. So Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 38. Fitzgerald or Cortland Sutton?
Cortland Sutton has slightly bit better upside. I mean, he should have a lot better upside. He should be the number one there. I think I still go Larry Fitzgerald, though, just based off the base, you know, Deshaun. Just off to the Deshaun Hamilton.
He's Bayshawn for now on.
Yeah,
Bayshawn Hamilton, he's your Bay. So I agree, though. I like Fitzgerald over Cortland Sutton, mostly because Cortland Sutton now has Joe Flacco.
That too.
he's going right ahead of somebody like D.D. Westbrook, who I want nothing to do with this year.
I don't get the D.D. love. I don't get it.
I don't either.
There's a lot of people that respect that. I love him. And I don't care.
He's going ahead of
Curtis
N'Keal
Samuel.
Harry. He's going ahead of Kiki QT, Curtis Samuel, Geronimo Allison. Like, he's going ahead of, so he's behind some guys with high upside, and he's ahead of guys with some really high upside, some boomer bust. He is in the later rounds, Mr. Consistent for you, right? He's going to play a lot in the slot this year. He's in a higher tempo offense. They're probably going to average 10 more plays a game, and that's really good for Larry Fitzgerald. Yeah, like
run,
you said,
what, 90. They said Cliff Clingsbury.
Wow, I mean,
that's not realistic. It's probably more like 60 or 70. But still.
But Larry Fitzgerald mentioned coming out of like OTAs and you know what he's seen from Cliff Kingsbury's offense so far and in the what they've done already, that it is a higher paced, a higher tempo offense. So, you know, there's just with more attempts, there's going to be more opportunities. Not to mention they got a new quarterback who should be a big upgrade over Josh Rosen. Sorry.
Yeah, you got a plan. You got a game plan for that guy. You can't just stack the box like they did against David Johnson. You got to respect these guys. You know, they brought in several wide receivers. Andy Isabella has been having a heck of an offseason, as we've been hearing in recent reports. And, you know, not
he's
just
that.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald's that steady veteran, though.
Right.
I mean, you got rookie coaching staff, rookie wide receivers, rookie quarterback. I mean, him and David Johnson are going to feast in his up-tempo office.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't fault Larry Fitzgerald for what he did last year with Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen under center. You can't hold his production against him.
He was still a flex for you, other than like
he still finished as a top 30 fantasy wide receiver last year with Bradford and Rosen.
Yeah,
Murray is an upgrade, and like Jason said, if they plan on running 70 plays per game,
that's a lot
with multiple wide receiver sets.
Yeah, it's a lot of opportunity.
Give me some other bits.
Yeah, it's a lot of opportunity.
He's going to look for him. He's going to trust the veteran, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so what you get for Larry Fitzgerald that you might not get from the rookies is when Kyler Murray looks to where Larry Fitzgerald is supposed to be, Larry Fitzgerald is going to be there.
Yep.
The rookies may or may not. You know, we all know how NFL rookies, wide receivers, it can be frustrating for quarterbacks, but Larry Fitzgerald's going to be where he's supposed to be. He's been there. He's done that. So he's been there. He's done that. He's got all the t-shirts.
My other guy, I won't go into depth. Zay Jones, do your own research. The guy is going to be a steal on draft days. Zay Jones.
And he's going undrafted. Yeah. So
I'll let somebody else go.
Take him.
I'll just say that. They featured him at the end of the season. Go back and look at the numbers for proof.
My only issue with Zay Jones, and we won't spend too much time on him because I've got to get my wide receiver and then we got tight end still. And your wide receiver, yeah. So my only issue with Zay Jones, and it's a small one, is they just brought a lot of guys
in. Yeah, but they don't.
And like,
none
of them are spectacular. Right. None of them are spectacular. And Josh Allen had a little bit of a repertoire. Yeah. Like they had a little bit of chemistry there. I think maybe they snuggled a little bit after games. Like, they had a little thing going on. So, George, who's your wide receiver, bud?
Well, I couldn't believe what I seen when I was looking through Fantasy Pros earlier. According to Fantasy Pros, my wide receiver I selected is the 46th wide receiver off the board. I'm not going to go into too much detail with him. I'm just going to say last year, 87 receptions, 1479 yards, 12 touchdowns, 22 rushes, 151 yards, and a touchdown. It's Tyreek Hill. Wow. Yes, yeah. Yes. I understand lots of risk with Tyreek Hill. Lots of risk. I get that. He may miss four games. You know what? If he's going as wide receiver 47, I'm fine drafting him that late and putting him on my bench for four games because I know when he comes back, I've got myself a top five wide receiver. What else do I need to say?
Number one not, receiver, you mean? I mean, that's what he was last year, wasn't he? Didn't he finish the season number one?
Yeah, he finished the number one wide receiver last year, depending on your format. He finished as the wide receiver one.
Now, granted, it should have been people who know fantasy football. It should have been Davante Adams, right? Because he missed like two games because, you know, it was Davante Adams. He was the number one. But as far as points, it was Tyreek Hill based on your format.
Yep.
Yeah, listen, he could be a league winner if you're willing to take him and he doesn't get a 6 or 8 game suspension. It's actually a 4 game suspension. We have no idea. It's a high risk, high reward style value pick. You're going to take him. You're going to stash him on your bench. And at his current draft, now, like we said with Adrian Peterson, the news will eventually come out. And depending on how many games he gets suspended, he's going to go up the board or down the board. So you never know exactly where he's going to end up by the time you draft. But right now, he's a steal where he's at because it could be 4 games. And come game 5, you could have a number one wide receiver that you took way late in your draft. So
yeah. I mean, these are the guys he's going around. And that's why I had to double check this. Michael Gallup, DeSean Jackson, Bayshon Hamilton. I mean, Devin Funchess. Come on, guys. Really? Seriously? That's where Tyreek Hill is at right now. Give me all the Tyreek Hill. I'll take it. That late,
yeah.
What are you losing? You're losing nothing.
I mean, if you're going to be getting
– You're talking round starts. 10.
You're talking about playoff
starts. End of round 9. You're talking the end of round 9, beginning of round 10 for a potential wide receiver 1.
Yeah, and who cares?
I mean, not just a wide receiver 1, points. The wide receiver 1.
Insane.
So mine, I went Geronimo Allison. He's got an ADP of 115, wide receiver 46. He's probably right around where Tyreek Hill's going. In the 4 games he played, he had 19 catches for 289 yards and 2 touchdowns, 29 targets over that span. If you take that out over 16 games, it would have been 76 catches for 1,156 yards and 8 touchdowns. Dude, that is wide receiver 2 numbers from a guy you're getting in the 10th and 11th round. He is potentially going to play a lot more slot this year, which can be valuable. He plays with Aaron Rodgers. Like, do you have to say any more? He plays with Aaron Rodgers.
No,
you know, offense matters, right? So he is the number 2 or number 3 depending on which wide receiver set they come out in. For one of the best offenses in the league, guys, you want to take players on good offenses.
Yeah.
You want to take the number 2 in Green Bay over the number 1 in New York. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, so, even if he's not the number 2, which some people are saying MVS could be, I still think he's the number 2, even if he's not lined up as the number 2. Because I think a lot of that kind of gets confused with people, right?
Well, they play a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. So whether you're number 2 or number 3, you're on the field.
Exactly.
And in Aaron Rodgers' offense, all you really have to do is get on the field. If you're on the field, the opportunity will be there for you to have just monster numbers.
And you're talking about Aaron Rodgers on a down year, and you're talking about Matt LaFleur coming in, and he's worked with Sanu. He's worked with Kupp. These are big guys, right? These are big guys that are, you know, like that's why you put them in a slot. You know, like you can't guard these guys. They're going to get yards after the catch too. You know, so it's a brilliant move, I think, because they could have put them outside. There were times where they did have them outside, but they wanted to move them to the slot, and they're going to move them around, I think. I don't think he's just going to be in the slot. He's not the sexiest name. He's not the most exciting player as an athlete overall, but again, we've seen with what LaFleur, you know, has done with guys like Sanu, with Kupp and stuff like that. These guys have been successful in these type of offenses, and I just love G-Mo. And the biggest thing I love about G-Mo is Aaron Rodgers loves GMO. Aaron Rodgers absolutely loves this guy. He's the guy that he talks about. He was pissed off when Jordy left, but guess who he was talking about when Jordy left? Oh, I can count on Adams. I can count on GMO. Everybody else, we're a bunch of rookie guys. What is he supposed to do with a bunch of rookie receivers? And all of a sudden, these second-year guys are going to be guys that are going to surpass Allison? Give me Geronimo Allison all day, man. Aaron Rodgers throwing that ball to this guy. Are you getting him that late? I got him, and again, this is a late industry draft. We did it, we did it like a month ago, so things changed quite a bit. I got him at 8.2. But now I'm actually seeing MVS going ahead of him, which I think could be a mistake. But I love both of them. I actually got Geronimo Allison, Deshaun, and MVS in this particular draft, 8.2, 9.1, and 10.2.
So wide receivers, we spent a good amount of time on them, and now we are going to move in a tight end. George, we haven't heard your pretty voice in a while. You got a pretty mouth. What tight end is your value this year, George?
My tight end value this year is the tight end that gave the stiff arm hurt around the world last year. He gave the stiff arm that actually ended Chris Conte's career. That dude is still in therapy to this day over that Vance McDonald stiff arm. You look at the Steelers. Yes, they lost Antonio Brown. Yes, they lost Jesse James. But you know what else they lost? 188 receptions. Those receptions got to go somewhere.
It's a lot of vacated receptions there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, they're not all going to go to Vance McDonald. They're not going to go to Juju, but Vance McDonald, he got 80 targets last year. Easily, he's in line for 100 targets this year. 55 receptions last year, easily in line for a good 65 to 68 receptions. I figure he'll get close to about 850 yards and 7 touchdowns. That puts him at a wide receiver 6 on the year.
So do you think – the real question is, do you think he's going to rip out somebody else's soul this year on the guaranteed NFL field?
Listen, as a man, I hope not. As a fan, oh, I hope he does.
Chris Conte got his soul ripped out, Mortal Kombat style, and only shame filled that hole. It is the most
downloaded stiff arm in the history of the NFL.
Flawless victory.
He is now out of the league, and every time he sees a stiff arm on TV, he dives under his kitchen table.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I feel bad for Chris Conte.
Over that dude. Great pick, though. Love Vance McDonald this upcoming season.
Yep. All right, there's a lot of talk that the Steelers may regress in passing attempts this year.
No, they will. They will.
Even if they do, there's still 188 targets.
Exactly.
Vance McDonald, there's nobody behind him. He's going to feast.
He's gonna
be now. Who do you have as your tight end this year?
My tight end, I'm super fine with waiting on tight end this year, right? I mean, a lot of people every year they want to, if I don't get those top three guys, you know. And my biggest thing for those top three guys is George Kittle didn't do much with Jimmy Garoppolo, so he did all right. He just didn't beast out the way he did, right, with Jimmy Garoppolo. So who knows if we're gonna see that. So a guy that did beast out with his quarterback was Austin Hooper. Hooper, man.
I love that pick.
That guy, 71 catches, 660 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's going to see way more than that this year. I just think that he can get close to 1,000 yards. I know it sounds kind of crazy for a tight end to get that. But, man, this guy, he's only 24 years old. And, you know, we talk about how tight ends, they don't, you know, do too well when they're younger. It's his third, fourth year going into the league, man. He's going to beast out, I think, in this offense. I mean, this is what their third year, right? In this offense now.
Yep. Third year.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a huge year for Austin Hooper. They don't have much aside from, I don't want to say, you know, Sanu isn't great and Ridley isn't great. They're great pieces. But I just think that Hooper is a more, I like that safety, but he's like a nice security blanket. Julio is a huge one. And I think as Matt Ryan gets older, he's going to look at his those big body targets. You know, he's going to look at Austin Hooper. He's going to continue to look at Julio. You know, so, I mean, those guys, I would say Ridley, Sanu, no, but Ridley, he's probably going to beast out with the next quarterback, I feel. He should have a good year, you know, but I feel like he's going to really have his best years with the new quarterback of the future from Atlanta. I don't know if it's going to be, even though I love Ridley as well. I think he could be a decent wide receiver too, borderline, but give me Hooper, man. I think he's going to have such a great year this upcoming season. Dan Quinn loves him. I think they feature him quite a bit.
So my tight end, and we'll wrap this up and get you guys out of here. My tight end is going to be Jimmy Graham. It's another another Green Bay Packer. Tight end 16, ADP 154. He's going behind guys like Greg Olsen, TJ Hockenson, Kyle Rudolph, Trey Burton, Delanie Walker. I will take Jimmy Graham over all of these guys. Last year, he was sixth in reception, ninth in yards, and he's getting drafted 16th. It's his second year with Aaron Rodgers. He had injury issues. If you go back and look at last year, and this is something I learned from my boy Lucas during our trip last year, if you look at the first half of the year before he was hurt, guy was playing like a star. He didn't have the touchdowns, but he had catches and yards. He got injured, wore a full arm cast, and still played like a man through the rest of the games. He just wasn't the same after. So if he stays healthy, and like we've said, it's caveat, if all these guys stay healthy, if he stays healthy, he can be easily a top 10, potentially a top 8 tight end this year. And again, he's a tight end on a good offense. What else can you say about him? He's produced with good quarterbacks before. Jimmy Graham's my value pick.
I think it's a great value. Jimmy Graham, two touchdowns are super fluky, right? He can easily get 8 touchdowns this year for all we know. I mean, Rodgers wasn't healthy.
Look at Julio a couple of years ago. He had, 3 touchdowns on the year? Yep. And everybody was talking him down, and he just came back the next year with double-digit touchdowns. So, touchdowns are totally fluky.
Totally fluky.
All right, so that wraps it up. We talked about news. We talked about Draft Night Out. We talked about Draft Night Out 2. We talked about values.
We got a nickname for Bayshon Hamilton.
The biggest news was Bayshon Hamilton is now a thing. We got a new nickname for Boss Man Hoos.
We might have guys. To you got anything else? Boss, it's got to be a little bit more finesse than just Boss Man Hoos, right?
Yes, Boss Man.
exactly right. Kingpin Hoos.
Kingpin doesn't sound so bearable, but then I sound like the
I like Boss Man Hoos. I'm sorry.
We're rolling with Boss Man Hoos.
Hey, Hoos, I was told that we're not allowed to pick our nicknames, so I don't want to hear it.
True.
It's Boss Man
That's
Hoos.
True. We're not allowed to
pick them. I'm gonna re-nickname all you guys.
It'll be appropriate.
All right. For Hoos, George, and myself, Jason, thank you guys for listening this week, and we will catch you next time.